When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dynamite! Hey everybody, it's the Dynamite Show. Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins here on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel and X. And for those of you listening on Thursday morning on the Fight Game Media audio feed. And Jeff, busy week in AEW. They ran a bunch of shows that nobody watched.
People have Olympic fever, Paul.
Well, yeah, and airing stuff in the afternoon against SummerSlam is
preseason football is about. Yeah, SummerSlam was of interest to wrestling fans,
and they didn't actually really advertise,
and they didn't promote anything. That would help.
We're not going to talk about that. There was some news this week. I guess first and foremost, according to our buddy Dave Meltzer, this wasn't a big story, but it's all anybody was talking about last week. Shortly, I think it was news by the time, like by Thursday, because remember last week, Mercedes did her promo and she mentioned how Britt Baker had been suspended by the EVPs, and it was, storyline due to the incident that happened at the San Diego Comic-Con was how, what we assumed. But then we later found out that she was actually suspended due to an incident backstage between her and Alicia Tout and one Maxwell Jacob Friedman, who I guess Britt took exception to the fact that an MJF Will Ospreay match took up half a show and was complaining about it. And then Alicia Tout heard her, went and told Max, and he got upset. And then there were words between Britt and Alicia. And the end result of all of this was Britt was suspended by the disciplinary committee. And as far as we know, nothing happened to MJF and Alicia. Do I have that right?
Pretty much right. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so she was suspended, and and there was some comments on Twitter, and Britt kind of was, some stuff came out about what she said, and then she kind of took exception to that, and she said, "Oh, you ever hear rumors about yourself, and you wonder, oh, what did I do next, and stuff," and they kind of teased tonight that she was still suspended, but we'd actually hear from her. I don't know. I people that I know people there kind of was worried something like this was going to happen when Britt came back.
Britt has a tendency to the snide.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about this on Shake Them Ropes. And Chris Novembrino had a really salient point on this to me. What is it that Britt could possibly say that would get somebody that angry? He literally asked me, did she say something anti-Semitic? And I said, I don't think it's that bad. But if you say, MJF is taking on, look, he gets to take up half the show, and you're getting sent to the disciplinary committee about it.
Okay. So let me, there's some other details that I've seen. She did apparently at one point call it a 60-minute circle jerk.
Okay.
And she called Alicia Tout a really bad name. I don't want to say what it was, but it either started with a B or a C.
Okay. No, that's good enough.
MJF got mad and punched a wall.
I could see that. Now, look, yeah. I would say versus the snide remark about the 60-minute circle jerk, which I could totally imagine somebody saying, especially somebody with a high opinion.
The funny thing is, she's not mad. This doesn't sound like she's mad at MJF. She's mad at Tony.
I think she's mad at Alicia.
Well, that
I think Alicia violated some sort of
sanctity
of the locker room, and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah, there's two different things here. Yeah, I mean, her original, you know, 60 minute circle jerk was frustration at the booking.
Yes.
Not necessarily about MJF or Will Ospreay.
Correct.
Right.
And that wouldn't get anybody mad, really.
No.
But I guarantee you, if you call an employee of the company a name or something like that, yes, that is a human resources violation. It's going to get you suspended.
If she did do that,
then that was perfectly justified.
Yeah.
It's a little petty, but mm-hmm. I get it. I mean, if you're going by the rule of law, and look, if MJF is, but MJF getting that mad that he's punching a wall. I don't know. The response doesn't equal the crime to me. And that's the one weird thing. That's why Chris asked that question to me. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I don't think so. And
there might be some missing pieces here.
There has to be some missing pieces. There has to be things that were said. I am guessing that there may have been a comment about
how Britt's she got her job
relationship with Adam Cole that might have come into play into this.
Yeah, and then maybe she fires back with, well, how'd you get your job?
Yes. And this becomes one of those types of fights. And now
we're speculating. We don't know anything.
Yes, this is purely, and this is not meant to trash anybody necessarily, but, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, this happens a lot in theater companies. I'm going to say it. I know people don't like me talking about my past, but it happens in comedy clubs. It happens in improv clubs. It happens in regular things where it's like, I don't understand why he's so funny.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people are enjoying this show so much when I'm so much better. Blah, 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 blah. Happens at the bar. Happens, you know, when you're around other comics and stuff. You're watching some guy sit and you know, I don't get it. I don't see it. Whatever. And then it gets back to that person. And then they're pissed off at you. I had an issue with this with a group. I went to the Chicago Improv Festival, and a friend of mine's group was doing sketches. And I said, that's why it wasn't well-received, is they were doing sketch. Oh, Jeff's been trashing the group. It's like, no, Jeff wasn't trashing the group. He was giving an explanation for such things.
Yeah.
Britt has ruffled feathers in the past, can we say? She has a certain demeanor about her. I can't be made to get angry at such a thing, but I do think, look, if what you say is true about her saying something derogatory about Alicia, no matter how one may feel about Alicia Tout, yes, that is grounds in a company within a human resources department and blah, blah, blah. Yep. That's grounds for suspension. I can get behind that.
I can see too. And you know, it could be as simple as, you know what, MJF just went out there. He did a 60 minute match, you know, probably the best match he's ever had. He's all excited, proud, adrenaline's rushing. He gets to the back, he goes to see his girlfriend. He figures he's going to get congratulated and everyone's going to be happy. And the first thing he hears is, oh, you should hear what Britt said about you in the locker room.
Yes, and that would be the girl. That wouldn't be Britt.
Yeah.
That would be the girl stirring that stuff up.
Now let
me say this again. There's no way in hell Britt should be making that public of a comment in the locker room or anywhere around, especially during television. If she's at home, she can make that comment. If she's at work watching the actual product for which she works for.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just stupid. That's a cry for I want my release. That's what that is.
Well, I've heard that from a few different people this week that, oh, I wonder if she's trying to get, you know, released. And but I guess we'll find out and the other thing is, maybe she found out, hey, you know what, you're probably not walking out of Wembley with that belt.
Ever thought she was, she's a fool.
Yeah.
No offense to her. I mean, I get that you might love the pop, but if she's possibly pouting about having to do the JOB and WEMBLEY.
Yeah, we got the CEO bringing in her Shane O'Mac. Probably.
Oh, God.
Hear all the love AEW.
Don't even joke about that. But no,
I'm not even joking. Just, like,
You know, it's one of those things where it's like you. There's a part of the job where you're out there and you're going out there and wrestling, and then there's a part where you have to play office politics.
Yes.
And yeah, she plays the office politics game poorly. If this is true, if this is true, if it's not true, then I apologize for any insinuations.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe you know this is all just you know drumming up business. I don't know.
Could be.
And then what was it? What was the other
Lucha
thing?
Lucha Brothers.
Oh right, yeah, Lucha Brothers. So word came out this week. So they were originally scheduled to have a trios title match, them and Pac, at Wembley, and now it looks like they're off TV. And their contracts are coming up due, and word is they're going to WWE. And I've seen a lot of, well, you know what? They did all they could do in AEW. They won the tag team titles. They had some good matches, but they're not really being used right now. So go sell some masks.
You know why they're not being used right now? It's because Rey Fénix keeps getting hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, can I stop you there? We got a super chat.
I just saw it.
Yeah. So I'm kind of disappointed. I didn't go to the show considering I live 20 minutes away from the Coliseum. This is from DJ Cass. This is what work until 7 p.m. will do to you. A little too much product in general for wrestling. I mean, you know what? I will say, watch it on TV. You'll like it.
It wasn't to go out of your way and quit work early and maybe get
or that you had to see this live. I don't think there's anything that you will criticize yourself later for. Oh my God, I can't believe I missed that live. Like you're going to be, your life's regret that you didn't get to see this show live. I think you'll be okay. But it's too bad that you didn't get to see it. You would have saw Ricky Steamboat, I guess, but he didn't really do anything. There was no match of the year kind of candidate. The opener was really, really good. We'll talk about the show in a bit, but, anyway, sorry, Jeff, back to the Luchas.
You know, there's a lot of people. They're not being used right in AEW, and oh, they were so... The Lucha Brothers... How am I going to put this right? Are kind of malcontents.
Oh, are
at
they?
Times.
Okay.
If you're not doing a Lucha Brothers match, they're not happy. They got Conan in their ear, apparently. Which is never going to go well. I don't care for Conan all that much, especially in this phase of his career, where he's kind of cosplaying a little bit. And for 3 years, I've been calling Penta Sports Entertainment Penta.
Yeah. Well,
he's
how's that going to work?
Made
in,
for
how's
WWE.
That going to work there, though? Like, if they don't play ball, like that's not going to fly.
Oh, they're going to be in NXT for 2 years, I think. So it's not going to matter. They're going to have to learn to play ball. I think they're going to... I don't ever think they're making it to the main roster unless there's cuts and...
Well, as long as they get good money, what do they care? They'll have
exactly.
great matches. And you know what? They're going to need... Like, NXT is... You know, they're touring. They're going to be running big arenas. They may need
and
people
that's
like
probably why they're they got their eye on them.
The debut is Chicago? That's a great place to debut the Lucha Bros.
Everybody's saying, oh, they're going to, you know, there'll be a glut of people on the main route. I go, dude, they got to learn to work the hard cam, quote unquote, first. They're not going there. And they have this thing there where if you're injury prone, like Rey Fénix is at times because he does too much and they're going to put him in a ladder match. And then when he comes back, they're going to put him in another ladder match to see if he's healed. That's what they do there.
And they won't use Penta while Ray's injured.
Well, they might. But, I mean, hey, maybe they toughen him up and give us the character that we've wanted from Lucha Underground this whole time instead of what we've been getting.
The Armbreaker dude.
Yes. Yeah, I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
But right now, I mean, watch him. Watch Penta any other time of the week. And he's doing the... He does the little dance. He does the glove off. He does the catchphrase. He is ready made for this company. If he makes a mint, he's going to be great. So, to me, raise the question because they want a guy like Rey Fénix, but they want a guy who can do it every week and does the same thing every week and won't screw something up and get hurt. They want that consistency. I would hesitate to say maybe Commander would be better off in NXT than Rey Fénix. I love Rey Fénix. But I've also never been the guy that, I mean, I like their matches. I don't love their matches necessarily.
You know, I mean, be awesome in NXT is that freaking Beast Mortos.
I like, you know, I like them against FTR and I like them against the Bucks, but other than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, I think I'll bet you anything. We're going to probably see Lucha Bros against the Motor City Machine Guns at some point.
I'm betting. I mean, I've heard, but I mean, he's kind of hinted at it a little bit, but I've heard that possibly Jose the Assistant may be brought in as their spokesperson.
He tweeted something with NXT as the initials.
But that's but there's nothing definite about that, and that's just something I heard in passing. Cool. So I wouldn't put any faith in it, but you know, look, luchadors in American wrestling need to be made to be great again. And they're not. I'm sorry. And they don't cut promos. The one that they have that's great right now is I want to call him King Cuerno, but Santos Escobar, and he's playing second fiddle to the Andrades and the Rays. I mean, you bring in Penta and Rey Fénix. They name drop Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio. And people just kind of tune out because they're luchadors. That's what's going to happen here.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's hard to say because, like, I think if they can get over in NXT, which I think they will, it's just a matter of how do you bring them to the main roster and how do they stand out? And they kind of almost have to stand out immediately, or they're going to just get looped in with
Penta needs to be made to be a killer again. Yeah. That's all there is to it. I mean, I just remember the first time I ever saw him live in PWG in Reseda. It was their version of whatever, a guerrilla warfare match. I forgot what it was called. But the fear of him coming towards you was palpable.
Okay.
Because this was him in his Lucha Underground in his height. He was a madman. He was a maniac. Yeah. I don't want kid-friendly Penta.
Yeah.
You know, with the glove stuff and crap like that. I want him to be a killer, but I don't think he wants to be a killer anymore. So
that glove stuff, I mean, yeah, that is totally made for WWE.
Yes, so, the catchphrase stuff. He's going to have three shirts with Sarah Miro on it, or however you say it. I am.
Yeah, and all the different colors, and every city will have their own color. And they'll do fine. And they'll have great.
He'll have a giant face of himself on a shirt. Yeah. It'll be great. And it'll sell like a million.
And masks.
And everybody will say how WWE learned how to use them.
And they'll get George Kittle at WrestleMania, and it'll all be fun.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
Kittle. I forgot George about Kittle's, the celebrity connection.
George Kittle's favorite wrestler. So.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about this show.
Yeah.
All right. So we opened up, I feel like we have every week for the last month, with MJF's music. No credits, just done it. Dana, you know, whatever. It's I can't do the music, but it's MJF's music, and he comes out, and he's all dressed. This may have been last week as well, but I kind of did. I don't think I noticed it last week, but this week he's all red, white, and blue, trunks and knee pads, and it's got the flag that drops down with his face 50 times instead of the stars.
He's American made.
Yeah, just yeah. a lot of that going around right now, and they're all heels. They pointed out that he defended the title, which on the graphic and in the announcements, they're calling the American Championship right now. So this title has been officially renamed for now. So he defeated Templario in his first American title defense. They didn't tell us about the Michael Oku match that's coming up, but. MJF, so the match starts and immediately MJF takes a powder and he grabs a mic and he says, I want you to lock up with me or I'll leave right now.
Lock up like a man.
Yeah. And, Don Callis was on commentary here and he was on commentary twice on this night. And I think it leaves a little to be desired and we'll get into why in a bit.
Oh, he's a godsend compared to Ricky Steamboat on commentary, but okay.
This is true. Well, okay. So I'll just say it right now. The one thing that I thought he should have pointed out in this match, and he never did, because I was listening for it. Mm-hmm. Every time Kyle Fletcher got the advantage in the match, he posed and he played to the fans, and the fans ate it up.
They made mention of that. I saw your tweet on this, but he did say eventually, look, he's playing to the crowd. Yes.
Okay, maybe I missed, because Callis should have been on him about that. Like,
I agree.
Every time.
I think Callis should be playing a heel on commentary instead of...
Well, like, he was, but he was like for MJF.
Well, no, he's playing basic heel.
Yeah, like he was literally...
He should be playing like a guy who's very invested in Kyle.
yes,
to win the title in a heel like way, because that would then that would then pay off the screwdriver spot. He should be going, you need to be going after this on MJF. He's much more evil than you. You need to be. Yes, I agree.
And I think he would have been better off being at ringside. And every time Kyle was cheering, he should have been like, no, get on him. Get on him.
You know? I agree. Yeah.
So anyways, they showed Will Ospreay watching on TV from the back, which I'm so tired of that spot, but they keep doing it. So they started out hot. Fletcher was going for tons of pins and totally over. Someone in the front row took the time to make a sign that said, MJF eats spaghetti with his hands. I hope they're proud of themselves. I'm not exactly sure what the point of that was. They mentioned how Kyle Fletcher took a beating from Brian Cage on Saturday. They made a lot of references to Saturday night on this show, which I thought was smart because nobody watched that show. Like,
you know what
would have
been smarter?
What?
Video highlights of the show from Saturday, if you're going to reference it.
Yeah, they showed some. But at least they mentioned
it. But for this? For Brian Cage and Kyle Fletcher, did they? Okay.
No, not for this, no.
Okay.
No, some other stuff. They showed the House of Black and Patriarchy, and we'll get to it because I made notes. So they went through. MJF was teasing the kangaroo kick. People were booing, and then he went for it, but Kyle hit him with a super kick. Crowd was like super hot. Fletcher went for a spot. MJF rolled out, or for a splash. MJF rolled out of the ring, sat on a chair. Kyle beat on him there. They brawled into the crowd. I thought the ref wasn't counting, but they showed he was just counting really, really slow. I think that they almost did make it back because Excalibur made a point of that at one point, and I think they got in at 9. Fletcher hit a flying elbow for 2, and it was a great flying elbow, and the crowd actually thought it was a pin. Like, you heard a gasp when he kicked out. This is when he started taunting too much, and then MJF planted his shoulder into the mat. MJF hit a hammerlock DDT for 2. This is where they start chanting, "This is awesome." Callis was actually more or less cheering for MJF, just talking about how brutal this is. And he said, "It's not a church picnic." And Tony Schiavone says, "Well, of course it's not a church picnic."
Schiavone had a night.
Yeah, he did. He did. MJF called him a wannabe Osprey and spit in his face. And that fired Kyle up, and he started slapping him. And then MJF poked him in the eye. Kyle went for a super kick and he missed. They started trading elbows. MJF hit a Canadian Destroyer, clothesline by Fletcher. At this point, Excalibur says, "We're halfway through the 30-minute time limit," which is usually a cue that they're probably going the distance. And I thought maybe they were, but they didn't. Spoiler alert. MJF put on the Salt of the Earth. Fletcher reversed it into a pinfall, and then he lawn darted MJF's shoulder into the turnbuckle. A lot of shoulders into the turnbuckles going on this week. Excalibur points out that Pac has an international title shot coming up, so he's already forgot that it's the American Championship. But then he even pointed out that we've gone back and forth with names on this title because it used to be the All-Atlantic Championship, so that was kind of weird. Fletcher went for a superplex. MJF reversed out of it by biting him. He went for a heat seeker off the second rope and then a Long Island Sunrise, but Kyle reversed that into a pin for 2. Pile driver by Fletcher for 2. That one they bought as well. A huge reaction to that kick out. And this is where Callis had had enough, threw down his headset, hit it to the ring. He distracted the ref and he tossed Kyle a screwdriver. Kyle teased using it and then he threw it away. MJF low blowed him, kicked the screwdriver out of the ring. Then he hit a kangaroo kick and a brain buster and got the pin. So yeah. It was a really excellent match, I thought.
The match was great. The ending killed any momentum Kyle Fletcher may have been able to get out of this. I'm sorry. Even Tony Schiavone is telling him to use the screwdriver.
Yeah.
Go ahead and use it, Kyle. Everybody's like, yes, MJF is a prick. Take advantage of this. Nope. Stupid baby face syndrome. 1, 2, 3. And far be it from me to say this. And I agree with the comment, and you got to be able to read it.
I'll read it when
you're done. Actually, read it now because it'll set up what I'm doing.
So this is from DJ Cass again. Super chat. Thanks again for the support. And anybody, if you want to send us a super chat, we will take your money.
Look, it could be the worst point in the world. We'll talk about it for 3 minutes if you pay us.
I'll put it over. But this one is good. MJF feels a little stale for me. He's had many churns over the last few months, and I feel like I've seen them all and listened to the same promos he does. His promos are getting a little repetitive. I will say that.
They are, but they need to go in more into the old school. And this goes into my complaint about this. This should have been a count out. This should have been an easy count out win for Kyle Fletcher.
Oh, okay.
To me. Because last week's promo was hot for him. It gave him something. It gave him some momentum coming into this match. Playing the same stale MJF is just too clever for you, where Kyle Fletcher has been under the tutelage of Don Callis for a few weeks. I think this leads to eventually him getting booted out of the Callis family for the returning Hobbs for some reason. Mm. But why not give him the win here and make just MJF a coward and do the cheap heat thing? I am here for that because we're trying to build this match for Wembley, and him making Kyle Fletcher bleed is fine. It just,
well, he hasn't made him bleed yet. We'll get to this.
Well, no. But at the end of the match, I'm getting ahead of myself, and
it's the second part.
But nobody goes, oh my God, I can't believe that. No, because they use it 300 times a year. We see the best friend get killed by whoever is in this the next world title shot thing.
This exact spot with a baby face conflicted over using a foreign object. I feel like we've seen this 10 times this year already in AEW.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In a feud where we have a babyface conflicted about using a finisher.
Well, yeah. I think that's the point. I think you're wrong. I think what's going to end up happening here is that we're going to end up with a match between Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay. And Kyle's going to cheat to win. And he's going to actually turn on Will. And
that would be
stupid. Yeah, but that's what I think's happening.
I think you're right. You just convinced me.
Yeah,
and I'm angry now because I'm thinking about that. It's like, okay, so we bring up the goodwill, of him. Oh, he cuts this fiery babyface promo against MJF, only to just come back 3 weeks later and cheat against Will Ospreay. That's stupid.
Yeah, but I could see them doing it. So rushed too.
Yeah.
After the match, this. Okay, I love that opener, and I didn't hate the finish as much as you did, but the ending after this match, they go to the back. Ospreay's in a room, and he's been watching on TV as we knew. Like, but they didn't make it clear that he was in a room. I always assumed they were like in a hallway or something because they never seem to have too much of a problem getting to the ring after, you know, when they're watching a match backstage.
Mm-hmm.
So they show Will Ospreay in this room, and immediately the match is over. He's trying to escape this room. I don't know why. Like, there's no beatdown going on, no nothing, not even a threat of a beatdown. And Ospreay tries to get through the door, and he can't get through it. And then he pushes it again, and it just opens. And there's like a cage in front of it, and he just pushes it away, and he starts walking through. And he asks somebody, what was that? And they're like, I don't know. And he just starts walking. Look, he starts heading to the ring.
Now there's plausible deniability that somebody actually put an empty freaking roller case in front of his door as opposed to, oh, somebody set him up.
Yes. But then they go back to the ring, and this was an instant. There's like stuff going on. MJF laid out the ref with his belt. I pointed out, like, he should be suspended now, right? Because when Hangman did that, he got suspended. He laid out Kyle Fletcher with the ring. The announcers are pointing out how Ospreay is trapped backstage, but we already saw him escape. And then MJF starts bloodying Fletcher, and he's screaming in the camera at Ospreay, saying, this is your fault. This blood's on your hand. I'm going to do what you don't have the balls to do. So he's teasing that he's going to do whatever it's called, the Tiger Space Driver. What is it? No, the
Tiger Driver
97. 91, 91, 97. I don't know. But I said this way quicker. There had to have been like 3 minutes that passed. I pointed out on Twitter, like, where is this room that Will Ospreay was in? Like, how did it take him as long as it did to get out there? Finally, he comes out and he breaks it up. And, you know, the MJF doesn't hit the Tiger Driver. Will hugged him with his white shirt and he got blood all over it. Callis was there. He's trying to pull Ospreay off. Callis is screaming at him, where were you? Where were you? Doc Samson is checking on him. Like, they treated
God, you're
this, like,
right.
Big serious angle. Yeah.
I hate you that you're right.
Well, that's why I thought of what I thought of, because of the way Callis was acting.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, I don't think at this point Kyle Fletcher has got good intentions, but I think Callis is going to, yeah, get in his head and churn up.
Callis is going to bring him back to the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
But Will wasn't there for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And
well,
he'll
even
watch. It was a
one-on-one match. Why did he need to be?
He can show him the footage. Like, he wasn't stuck in a room.
Yeah. See, he was just pretending to be stuck in a room because of our bad props department.
He got out of the room. He got out of the room. Like, what were they doing?
I'm not going to get angry over an angle that hasn't happened
yet. That had to have been a mistimed thing, right? Like,
No, it wasn't mistimed. It was what it was supposed to be was, we don't really want to lock him in the room. So they did the prop.
Yeah, but he didn't. Why was he trying to escape the room?
To get out there to help save Kyle.
He didn't need to save him. He wasn't attacking him yet. He was trying to make the save before the attack happened. I think it was a timing mistake. I think it should have been like a split screen. And as the attack is happening, that's when Will's trying to escape. But that's not what happened. We saw the escape before we saw the attack. Go back and watch it.
Hold on. I forgot what's the name of that Leonardo DiCaprio movie. Have I incepted something that happened that didn't happen?
Maybe. I'm telling you.
Because I thought he was trying to run out of there when he saw...
No.
Oh, no, It's when... No. No, no. He hadn't attacked him yet, but Don Callis gave him the screwdriver.
Okay, so that, okay, maybe.
And yeah, he was going out there to prevent it or something to that effect.
There's no way that was happening, because I asked, and my good friend Ryan Frederick, who, whenever he answers me, I always assume he's just pointing out, like, you know, that I screwed up and I said something stupid. But I said, where the hell is this room? And Ryan responds, Greensboro. Like, and they're in Winston-Salem.
That's a good joke. I'm proud of it. Although it's Winston-Salem, not Greensboro.
No. No, the room was in Greensboro.
Oh, the room was in Greensboro?
Yeah, that's why it took them so long.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah,
it was, they didn't, okay, never mind. Yeah. I thought you were asking literally why was he so able to get out so easily.
It was
a bad prop department.
Well, no, it just, or, you know, maybe there was another room that he was stuck in. Like, I don't know. So they aired a video package for Jarrett and Danielson. Danielson was explaining how much he wanted the match. He's bothered by Jarrett questioning him. He respects Jeff, wants to show him he's ready. Points out that there's no time limit, no DQ in this match. So I didn't see Collision. I assume they must have announced those stips there, because when we last were on Dynamite, they hadn't mentioned that yet. And he's thrilled that Ricky Steamboat will be here. Oh, that's news to me. I had no idea.
I believe that was announced on Twitter.
Oh, there you go. Why not? You know, because last week on Dynamite, they never mentioned it. And I don't know why you bring in Ricky Steamboat if, you know, you bring him in to sell tickets. Well, if nobody knows he's there, you're not.
He
probably
lives
not gonna sell
many
in tickets.
The area. I think that's the answer.
Well, yeah, I guess. But anyways, Ricky said he wanted to be here for this moment. Jarrett said the match is bigger than a win or a loss. It's to make sure Danielson is ready. So actually, Jarrett's promo played into what the match was, so that's good. And then they come back, and the announcers are doing, like, the quiet sell about, I don't know what's wrong with Kyle Fletcher. You know, like, he's seriously injured. Like, anybody believes that. I mean, it wasn't even that bad. Like, we've seen way worse attacks, but whatever. Actually, this next match that we saw, this poor Viva Van got beat up way worse than Kyle Fletcher did. So this next match is Mariah May versus Viva Van. And I got to tell you, if you're not in our Discord, the Fight Game Media Discord, you got to get in there. Send Gigi an email, Gigi@FightGameMedia.com. Yeah. So we're talking about this match in the Discord. And I said, if this match is any more than 4 minutes, they've lost their minds. Because people were saying how great Viva Van is. And she's doing all this great stuff on the indies. And she had a great match with Toni Storm, you know, on some random Rampage. And it was great. And yeah, it's great to see her getting a thing. And I'm like, no, this is not the time for this. This is a squash match. And then my good friend and yours as well, Larry Sternstein, points out, he says, it's AEW. You know they're going through a commercial break.
Yep.
And I'm like,
Larry's cynicism is well healed. And it's well, yes.
I think we were both right. I think it did go through a commercial break, but I also think it didn't go more than 4 minutes.
They're not going to do a straight squash because they want the other person to get a little bit of shine out there. And
this was a squash.
I get that thought. Well, no, it was a squash that took too damn long is what it was.
Because literally Viva Van got one move. So I wrote down.
And again, the law of Hawkins is if you want to squash somebody, just bring in a geek you don't care about, much like the Camille thing.
Yeah,
if you want a good match, book a good match.
Well, this was neither. Although it was a squash, I mean, there's no question.
Oh yeah, no, it was an Mariah extended May, squash as we
Mariah May does her entrance. Viva Van's already in the ring, so that tells us something right there. So immediately May hit her with a headbutt and a release German, and the announcers. This is where they pointed out some more stuff from Rampage. Tony Storm was. Or Mariah May was supposed to do commentary, and she didn't even get to do commentary because Toni Storm attacked her at the desk. I kind of like that, and I want to see it now. So then after her German suplex, she hit a shotgun dropkick from the top rope. Fans are chanting, "We want Toni." Mariah's pissed. Mariah's bashing her head into the turnbuckle. And you know what I loved about this? She's just bashing her head in. She's not doing one, two, three and letting the fans chant. She's just, you know, like, it was great. Like, she's coming off like such a great heel. And then Aubrey tried to get in her face, and May threatened her, and she already you know, put her hands on her once. So Mariah, you know, you can believe that Aubrey's scared of her. Mariah clotheslined her, then she hit another shotgun drop kick. They went through commercial, and I fast forwarded it, but everything I fast-forwarded, Mariah May was on offense, like nothing. There was one spot where I think where – what's her face? Viva jumped on her back.
Yes.
And then, you know, Toni just shoved her off, and she hit her Mayday. She wouldn't cover her. Then she hit the Storm Zero, and she got the pin, and that was that for Viva Van. Rest in peace.
Took too long.
It was too long. The other thing we should have mentioned at the start – there was some travel issues and a bunch of people didn't make it into town. So I think in some cases they were, probably some stuff probably got extended tonight.
It said that everybody who was supposed to be on television made it.
Yes. Well, except for a match that they never announced that two of the, partners weren't there. But they had to tell us that, oh, well, you originally scheduled for this match, but two of your partners aren't here. And then he said, well, I got two surprise partners.
Who were supposed to be the partner? It was supposed to be
Shee and Mark Briscoe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, how about you make a talent be there within driving distance the night before? That might be good.
Yeah, maybe they're running a sloppy shop, like somebody mentioned.
They did. I understand. But no, I think this goes to a good point, though. It's one of those things where I understand they care about the life-work balance of their talent. And I'm cool with that. The problem is when you do the I'm going to fly in the morning and I'm going to fly out that night type of thing, these things happen. And, you know, man plans, God laughs. I
don't understand. MJF had to drive there.
If this is an important show, et cetera, et cetera, you need to start laying down the, hey, I have this show written out. I need everybody who is on this show to be there the night before, call times at 11 at the arena, get a hotel, we'll pay for it, we're the company or whatever, or be in driving distance, be within 100 miles, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that people want to spend the night with their families, et cetera, but it's just like, look, part of work-life balance is work.
Did you see the attendance for this show? I normally do this at the start of the show, but I forgot this week.
No, but what percentage would DJ Cass have increased it?
Well, there's 2,435 people.
Out of?
Dynamite. Well, I don't know. Like, it's a full-size building. Like,
well, yeah, but I mean, if you only seated...
Oh, well, I mean, they were set up for, I think they said 2,700. And they were set up for 2,983. Okay. But it looks like this building probably could hold about 10. They were pretty loud. It was a good crowd. I thought overall, like,
well, the arena they're in next week is a college arena again.
Okay, well, that's probably...
That's in Norfolk. That's
what they should be running. Yeah, they're in Norfolk next week. It's weird that they're in all these mid-Atlantic towns, but I guess that's good to go to London from there, right? So after the match, some random person gave Mariah this big gift, and it was a package, and she rips open the package, and it's a pic of Tony Storm hugging her, but on the back is written "Die Mariah, die," and she notices it, she tosses it aside, and then Tony Storm shows up, and she's wearing that black, outfit that she was wearing 2 weeks ago. It's so weird because the implication is that she's been wearing this outfit the whole time.
She's dressing as ring crew.
Yeah, except like she also wrestled, but she's wearing like when she wrestled on Collision, she was wearing a different outfit.
Yes,
and it's a different outfit than what she normally dresses in. So it's kind of weird. But anyways, they had this great brawl. Like it was just awesome. May kicked her in the gut. She grabbed the shoe. Tony used the shoe to do like a hip toss kind of thing. Aubrey showed up again. She was all over the show tonight. She broke it up, pulled her away. More refs came down. They're all separating it. Crowd's going nuts. They broke free.
We need consistency on this, though, from the powers that be. We're going to break up any fight that might affect the card at All In. That's all you need to say.
Well, not only that, but if you're going to do this brawl, and it was a great brawl, it was an awesome brawl, don't do another one later for some stupid match that nobody gives two shits about that doesn't mean anything.
Wow.
Such language, we'll get to. Paul. Well, I was so mad when that happened. But
getting
we'll
that get PG-13 rating.
Yeah, that's long gone. So they broke free. They got their hands on each other again. Crowd's chanting for Tony. They finally got Mariah out of there. Tony's music played. Tony held up the "Die Mariah, Die" sign. And I noticed something here, and this is probably a reach. And I asked on Twitter, and I was told it definitely was a reach. But "Die Mariah, Die" is DMD. Different, right? Like, maybe that's a clue. Like, that's going to be your next feud. I don't know. But
I have a... All I'm thinking of is The Simpsons. With it says die Bart die. No, yeah. that's German. It's the Bart the.
The Lady B on Twitter pointed that out to me, and then Garrett brought up Die Rocky Die.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is a common thing in
but it was in a certain. It's weird. I recognize kind of the scripting too.
The font, yeah.
The font was something. It's a reference. I've seen. Yeah. Yeah. I think it might. I think it's actually a reference to Die Bart Die.
I think you're right. Now, how she goes from Betty Davis and Joan Swanson. Well, no,
now Mariah May has to go step on a bunch of rakes.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty funny. wouldn't it be Tony? No, it would be Mariah. This is what we need Harley Cameron for. I could see Harley Cameron stepping
up. I saw her match from Saturday. That was interesting.
Yeah, I'm so far behind. I did watch Bloodsport yesterday. That was
Jean-Claude Van Damme movie or the actual paper?
Josh Barnett's Bloodsport with... The real Forbidden Door. We had people from AEW, WWE, TNA, GCW, Tokyo Joshi. This was the real Forbidden Door.
Yes, it is. Awesome. He is the actual Forbidden Door guy.
Yeah. We got a Jack Perry video promo. It was fine. There was a bunch of footage that aired. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, you missed this then.
I guess it got interrupted by a Taco Bell ad.
Yes.
Right?
And I don't know if this was on purpose or not.
I don't think it happened here, so that's probably why. But I saw that was trending on Twitter.
Okay,
so
yes.
What happened?
Yes.
I'm pulling it up right now.
They're doing this black and white thing, and it's going over what happened in Anarchy in the Arena. And he goes, there's a price to pay for this. And like, $7 chalupa box.
I'm watching it right now. Oh my god!
And then then it goes back to the promo, and then they do another makeup Taco Bell commercial. It's almost, I almost want to say that it was on purpose, and if it was, it sucked.
I don't think it was.
But I could also just say, well, maybe the production crew, sent a signal too quick to put in a commercial in there. But I laughed like hell at this. It was so.
There's people, your AEW diehards are making up some storyline reason for why this was.
Your WWE diehards are going, man, that looks like Wyatt Six type stuff.
Sean Ross Sapp asked, did anyone else get a YouTube talk about? Yes, Sean, a bunch of people did. So this is the AI version of what happened. During a recent episode of AEW Dynamite, viewers were taken aback when a Taco Bell commercial unexpectedly appeared, interrupting a video promo featuring wrestler Jack Perry. The interruption, which occurred during Perry's promo, sparked a flurry of reactions on social media, with many expressing surprise and amusement at the unusual timing of the advertisement. The incident quickly became a trending topic among wrestling fans and social media users, highlighting the unexpected and sometimes humorous nature of live television.
The only thing that would have been funny if it were like Berea Tacos advertisements, yeah, that sometimes made with goat and oxtail. Yeah. It was for the scapegoat.
There was a bunch of footage they aired. I saw Samoa Joe in some blurry, grainy footage.
Yes.
Like, it was really bizarre promo.
Like, yeah, it was going into some Aleister Black.
Where the hell are the Elite, by the way? Like, we haven't seen them since Blood and Guts.
they're producing the show in the back.
Are they? I question that. I think Okada's in Japan. I don't know this. I'm guessing.
Okada and Darby's, Nakamura are surfing.
Darby's promo led me to believe that we aren't seeing the Elite until London. Which actually Darby's promo was next. He's wearing his pink coat. People have asked him, why didn't you just light Jack on fire and end this? And he said, well, if I did that, I wouldn't get the match. And he doesn't know why. He doesn't even know when Jack Perry was last on TNT, even though he's a champion. He says, you don't have to sacrifice. You don't have to show up on Dynamite. You don't have to show on Rampage, where I'll be wrestling this week in Winston-Salem, by the way, or Collision. You just have to show up at Wembley. And that was that. It was a nothing promo. I'm not exactly sure even why it aired. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little lame.
Yeah. Then we got Brian Keith versus Shibata. They showed highlights of the last time they wrestled. And I think what happened in that match was Shibata broke Brian Keith's face. And that's why he was off for a while.
Orbital bone, yes.
Yeah, he pretended like he had a broken arm, but he actually had a broken orbital bone. So he's back now. They reminded us that Hook's been out due to the fireball, and also that Joe's been out due to being put through a wall on a forklift. Taz was not on commentary here because he was whisked away by security courtesy of Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, our VVPs. They had a back and forth match, went through a break. Bill pointed out 109 days as FTW champion. He repeated the next level line from Jericho last week. So this is the rule of comedy, right? It's lame when you do it now. It'll be lame when he does it next week. If he's still doing it in 3 months, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's yeah, the rule of threes versus the rule of 3,000.
Yeah.
Just keep doing it until you get the laugh.
Yeah, he got the laugh the first time and a little bit less. They plugged Dynamite in Wales. I swear this is the first time they mentioned that this is even happening, and it's in 2 weeks.
They finally decided to start selling tickets.
Yeah, like this is the one that they didn't announce, but they put tickets on sale, but they never told anyone. And this is like 3 days before Wembley.
This company.
And they just, hey, we're going to show up. And it's like a 10,000-seat building, and I think they've not really
sold
very many tickets.
They'll get 2,500 probably again.
Yeah, yeah, but they'll probably sell a bunch of tickets, like, you know, now that people know the card's happening. Eventually...
Quick, see if Zack Sabre Jr. is available. Maybe we can get some people.
He's there. Seats. He's wrestling the night before for Rev Pro against Hechicero. Shibata eventually put the claw on that was taught to him by the Von Erichs, the Von Erichs and Dustin Rhodes won a championship in this company like 10 days ago. They have not mentioned it on Dynamite.
I believe
once.
They are now the Ring of Honor six-man champs.
It's not been mentioned at all.
Well, it's Ring of Honor.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. So he used the claw, then he transitioned the claw into an arm bar, and Brian Keith quickly tapped, and that was that. I mean, it was a match.
Jericho and Bill were horrible.
Mm-hmm. Jericho could not get Bill's name right.
Yeah, no, Jericho stumbled on his lines and his because he was trying to get Redwood out, and Big Bill, and just couldn't remember the nickname. And
yeah, it was because he stopped doing the voice now. Like
no, he'll do it when the camera's on him. He does it.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Yes.
Yeah. So then after the match, Big Bill ran down. He attacked Shibata. Jericho joined in. Now it's a 3-on-1. And I wrote down here, I guess we're getting Hook. And Keith's choking out Shibata. Jericho's threatening him with the FTW belt. He's going to hit him.
And I want sudden, proof that you wrote down, I guess we're getting Hook. I want proof of that.
I could send you my notes.
Because it sounds like you're prognosticating in hindsight.
No, I could send you my notes.
No, this I believe. Okay. I'm just doing a bit. Okay.
I wrote, should be Hook coming. My next note is Keith choking him out. Next thing is Jericho threatening with the FTW belt, but stopped because Hook's music hit. So he was literally like inches away from hitting him. But that music, okay, I can't hit him now.
Yeah.
The music's playing.
Hit him with the title and get out of there, you dope. Yeah.
But he didn't. So Hook, this is hilarious. Hook runs down to the ring. He's wearing a toque.
Yes, he is.
The toque is covering his eyes. He managed to fight off three big bad heels. The Bad Apple, the Redwood, and the Learning Tree. All by himself without being able to see. This is the most impressive thing I've ever seen.
He needs to do what Dumb Donald did on the Fat Albert. Cut some holes in that toque so he could look through it.
Yeah, no, he got rid of all of them. It was great. And so he made the save. And I guess we're getting Jericho and Hook at Wembley. It would be my guess.
Oh, hoorah, hooray.
Yeah. So we go to backstage, and this is the segment I was talking about earlier. Renee's with Orange Cassidy. They're in front of a TV for some reason.
Yes.
She points out that you're scheduled for a six-man rematch from the match you had last week. You, Tomohiro Ishii, and Mark Briscoe against the Beast Mortos, Roosh, and Roderick Strong. But he said your teammates aren't there. They're stuck in travel hell. And he says, but I'm going to fight anyways. And he says, there's a couple local boys here that were looking for a fight. I wrote down probably FTR. And Renee is like, well, is there anything you need? And he's like, well, do you want to fight with me? And she says, no. And he says, I didn't think so.
I think he said, do you want to wrestle for me?
Oh, wrestle. Yeah, that's probably what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. My fear was they had re-signed the Hardys. I had forgotten FTR.
Yeah.
No, I Trevor Lee and somebody possibly? No.
Well, Trevor Lee posted, he posted a picture of himself like in front of a car and he said, hey, I'm available.
Yeah.
Because when Tony was panicking about not having any wrestlers tonight, I just thought it was really weird that they announced here, they never once, like, I don't even think they posted this match on social media. They never mentioned it on the show. But this is the first we knew that this match was scheduled. And then they said, well, we scheduled this match, but two of the people aren't here. So now he's got Mystery a partner. And I thought, okay, well, at least maybe it's going to be a thing till the end of the show. Like, okay, who's going to be the Mystery partner? It was like almost the next segment that we had this match. So not quite the next segment, but it was like the next match. The next match we saw was this match that they were talking about. So
yes, it makes sense in Tony's head.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because I'm sure he thinks, oh, yeah, everybody read my mind, knew we were having this match. So they went to a commercial. They come back, and now it's Renee with Hangman. This is a very different Renee. They've got like 19 people that they've hired to do backstage interviews. Why is it always Renee that interviews Hangman? She clearly doesn't want to do it. There's clearly bad blood going back to the Moxley feud. And she tells him, you lost to Darby. You lost at Blood and Guts. You're losing a lot. And he says, the one man that I wanted to take everything I could from him, it's worth nothing but the ash of his price. For that one man, there have been a dozen other dumbasses getting in my way. Justice delayed is justice denied. Look at me when I tell you I will have what I want. And he walks away. And Renee just looks at him with this look of disgust on her face. Drops her mic and just shakes her head like, this is bizarre.
No,
like,
let me ask you this. Okay. What percentage of people remember the Moxley Hangman angle that got her involved in this? Because I got about 60% maybe. So a lot of people just 60? Aren't. I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt.
Five.
But they're trying to play up on that. I agree with you. But I liked this promo.
Oh, it's a great promo. I just, like, it could have been anybody
but
else.
But I
doing
agree
it.
With you. I think somebody needs to bring up the fact, oh, yeah, she doesn't like Hangman because Hangman and her husband fought. Maybe if he starts off the promo, how's Mox doing?
Yeah, like, where's
and
your
then,
husband
and then,
at
and then that reaction is earned. But in terms of this, it's in terms of this, you kind of want to tell Renee, be a professional. You're a journalist. You should be unbiased or whatever.
I thought that exact thing. I did not write it down in my notes, but I did have that thought. She's not
okay,
very
professional. Okay, so we're on the same page on that. That's okay. Fine. But I also agree with you. They have 300 backstage people. Why not get Alex Marvez to do this? Or how about we show Renee going, I'm scheduled to interview Hangman. I don't want to do it. Can you do it for me, Alex Marvez, Alicia Tout?
Brian Alvarez has a theory that Tony Khan, the character, is a psychotic.
No.
He is deliberately scheduling Renee to do these interviews.
This is a running gag from Alvarez, and I love him to death. But it's that Tony hasn't put much thought into this.
No, I think he's deliberately having her do these promos because he expects that everyone remembers it.
Yes. And I agree with you there too. Yes, that's what I meant.
Okay. All right. So next we got, and they had promoted this earlier in the show, but I don't think they promoted it at all before the show. If they did, I missed it. But it was a JR sit-down interview with Swerve Strickland. Can I get the negative out of the way first?
Is there a positive?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Swerve was good. JR stunk.
Okay, well, that's the short version. I actually would say that I thought JR was okay, but the negative from JR does not look like he should be on
he
television.
He has a weak voice. He's being put out there for
frail.
Value.
And he looks this would frail.
Be the, this would be the time to highlight somebody who's not a retread in here to put Swerve over. That was my problem with it.
Tony Schiavone should have done this.
Well, Tony could have done this, but I had a
Or Renee, like...
I think there's a tonal problem on this one. I think Swerve came off as too heelish in this thing.
Well, I think that was the intent. Especially but with what they did at the end. I think very clearly he's supposed to be the heel here. They're trying to avoid people. They don't want the double reaction. They want 100% Danielson in this match, I believe.
Yeah.
So I actually thought JR's performance, like even though like his voice was terrible, I thought he actually like his questions were great.
Yeah.
I thought so. He says he asked him if he's motivated. Swerve said he's motivated to give the fans something special. He said last year I tagged with legends and I lost. This year I'm main eventing and this means the world to me. JR points out you've done several controversial things to get to where you are. Do you have remorse or did you do it because you felt you had to? Swerve said, if nobody's listening to you, you got to make noise. And if you do, people will listen. JR asks if you thought about how violent and punishing Danielson is. Swerve says, I sat back. I watched Danielson kick people's teeth in. I know how hard he has to fight against me. JR said he's wrestling like this is his last match, win, lose, or draw. Swerve says it's about legacy for Brian. He's run into a crossroads. Who is he without this? He needs something to fight for. If I was in the same situation, would anyone care about me? And JR says they shouldn't. And Swerve says, well, if they shouldn't, then why should I? I control the narrative. I control this company. And that's what worries people. And it should worry Brian as well.
Okay. That one came off false to me in terms of JR going, they shouldn't care about you. It's like, dude, we've been doing this whole thing to get Swerve a catchphrase
saying the reverse. Like he's saying, if I was in Danielson's shoes, would people care about me?
Yeah, no, Swerve asked that, yes, and JR said, no, they shouldn't. And I was like, what?
Yeah, no. It was weird. He asked him, do I care that he's a father and a husband to Brie? And he says, no, not really. And JR says, this is going to be the toughest match you've ever had. Swerve says, what makes you think that? What happens when his body gives out, when his neck seizes up on him, when his arms are trembling? What do you do when your body won't work? JR said he's going to be hard to beat. Can you beat him at Wembley? Swerve says, not only can I will beat him, and his legacy belongs to me now. I love the segment. I was a little uncomfortable watching and listening to JR, but other than that, I loved it.
I liked it. I get that they're healing up Swerve here. It just doesn't...
It's weird because you know that he's probably going to be a babyface again as soon as the match is over.
Yes! But.
Yeah,
that's what's making it weird for me.
Unless he loses the belt and churns. I mean,
it feels like to me, at least, they should be going for how do I explain this? I more of Apollo Creed here. from Rocky.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Where he's confident, but he's not mustache twirling. And I think I just think JR wasn't getting the right thing out of him for me. I get the whole, well, his legacy will be mine. It's like, you know, you're fighting Bryan Danielson.
It's funny you bring up Rocky, because I saw it when they did the Danielson Jarrett thing. Gigi pointed out he originally said that that Jarrett was Mickey, and I said no, Jarrett is Apollo Creed to Rocky in Rocky IV. Or even Rocky III. So that would make Swerve Clubber Lang.
I thought of something, and maybe you disagree, and this will be a good conversation about this thing. I actually think Swerve cares too much about Bryan Danielson.
Okay.
Maybe he should just be so maybe my problem is I'm thinking, okay, I'm building my own legacy. I don't care who gets in my way. I don't care if you're a legend. I don't care if you're a good guy. I don't care if you're a bad guy. I'm doing this for me and my title and how much I've worked. And actually dive back into those promos about how, you know, how hard he worked to get to this title shot, et cetera, et cetera. I think my problem is he's saying too much about Bryan Danielson that's just not true.
He cares more about taking Danielson's legacy than he actually cares about his own title.
Yes. Yeah. That's my problem with this feud now.
Yeah.
Is he cares more about killing him versus building himself up.
And that could end up being his downfall. Maybe. If he loses the belt.
And then he'll be a babyface the next week against Hangman.
Or not. I guess we'll find out. All right. Next we got that match we talked about. Orange Cassidy and FTR against FTR were the mystery partners. It wasn't no mystery. Against the Beast Mortos, Roderick Strong, and Roosh. Okay. I got a few things to say about this. So last week we saw this match, and it was just a spot fest. Just boom, 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 boom. This was, you replace Mark Briscoe and Tomohiro Ishii with Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood, and you got a completely different match. This was every single Collision main event over the last year. This was just a standard six-man tag. We got the heat spots, and you got more heat spots, and you got more heat spots. They went through two commercial breaks. This was what happens when a bunch of people don't make the city. It's like you throw these guys out there for 20 minutes. The Beast Mortos is not nearly as over on Wednesdays as he is on Saturdays.
Correct.
Is it possible that they're piping in crowd noise on those Saturday shows?
No, it's on Saturday. They're in Texas.
Okay, so that's it. And it's a small building, and they got great acoustics.
Yeah.
So all it takes like 300 people out of the 1,300 that are there that are going nuts, and it carries. And then it makes the people that aren't cheering cheer when it sounds like everybody's cheering.
Yes, it's a difference between a studio and an arena.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, they were dead for Mortos. They didn't really even know who he was, I don't think. They were totally dead through most of this match. There was a few spots where they would do the spots where everybody hits a move and stuff. But, like, last week, that was the whole match. This week, there was just a very small part of the match. Eventually, they did get to the last spot where, like, everybody's just doing a bunch of shit. And Mortos hit a headbutt on Cash. Then he hit a tornado dive onto him. Missed a dive on Orange Cassidy, took out the Kingdom in the crowd. So they were sitting in the crowd, and they were interfering at different times. But eventually, Beast Mortos took him out. Orange Cassidy hit a Stung Dog Millionaire on Strong on the outside, but then he was selling his tailbone for like 5 seconds. Roosh was going for the bull's horns on Dax, but Orange Cassidy stopped him mid-move with the Orange Punch. Roosh had laid him out with a discus punch. They had this chop battle with FTR in there against Roosh. Roosh got the better of it. So then Orange Cassidy joins in, and Roosh is getting the better of that. It's Roosh standing in there against three baby faces and beating the shit out of all three baby faces. Eventually, Orange Cassidy hit a orange punch, and that set up a shatter machine, and Dax pinned Roosh. So I guess that's why Roosh got that spot to where he got to shine 3-on-1, because he ended up eating the pin. So it's interesting that Roosh took the pin out of these six guys.
This is the point I'm getting out of this match, and it baffles me. It absolutely... It does and it doesn't. To me, this ending was booked because, well, we can't beat Mortis again because we keep beating him.
Well, he won last week.
On Saturday, right? Not on
No, he pinned Mark Briscoe on Dynamite last week.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or people are expecting.
He should have got the win again, I thought.
Mortos? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Roosh. I thought Roosh should have been given this. Or if you're gonna beat that team, I would have beat Roddy.
I mean, Roddy can take a loss easy.
Gotta be honest. There's nothing about this Undisputed Kingdom that you need to protect.
I don't think they. Oh no, I think
But Mortos is on the rise, and Roosh. Roosh is part of supposedly your top heel group, kind of, I guess. I don't know. Maybe the Elite are. I don't know how the Callis family fits into this, but you're trying to put over the fact that Don Callis is now managing Roosh, and beat him.
Callis was on commentary here.
Callis,
I didn't mention it.
And then Callis throws a fit afterwards.
I didn't just mention it because he said nothing.
Yeah.
Like, he was on commentary, but he didn't say a thing.
No, and I just think this was a mistake. I think you beat Roddy here with the Shatter Machine, and you're fine.
They had Roosh join the Callis family on some random Rampage about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they've actually told us. Like, Callis
he's been out there with Roosh on a Dynamite.
No, but he never wins.
Correct.
I'm not sure why
Callis. No, he always goes to commentary during that time.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't mention this, but at some point during this match, we got breaking news from Tony Khan. There's going to be a Casino Gauntlet match at Wembley. Presumably, a bunch of these guys will be in it. They said it'll be a bunch of the top names in AEW, except for everybody that's in top matches, which is a lot of people. And the winner gets a guaranteed world title shot. I feel like we got like 9 different world title shots lined up at this point.
If I'm the world champion, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Can I build a feud with somebody instead of giving random title shots to people?
Yeah, so I assume we'll probably get some, mystery people from outside the company, maybe like a little Michael Oku or, some Zack Sabre Jr., something like that. And then all the people, any star that you see on Dynamite every week that doesn't have a match at Wembley is probably in this Casino Gauntlet.
That's
match.
Great. Hangman wins it.
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, Hangman doesn't have a match right now, does he?
No.
I think we figured we were going to get Jarrett, but
I thought we were going to Hangman Jarrett. I thought it was going to
I was expecting Hangman to come out at the end and lay out all those 3 smiling baby faces at the end.
You know what? I bet you they do Hangman Jarrett on that Dynamite in Wales.
Maybe. And I guess who knows? Like, could be anybody because Darby's got a title shot.
Darby everybody else already has all the title shots.
Yeah, so who knows? You know what? It might be Moxley. Maybe Moxley makes his return at Wembley and he wins.
I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Yeah. It should be somebody returning.
It's
so anyways,
not be anybody's surprise or whatever necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that Callis was pissed after the match.
Yes.
He got upset. And then the Acclaimed come out. And Caster's going to cut a rap, but his mic isn't working. I don't know if this was planned or not. The way that Dax just started randomly blabbering, I feel like it wasn't on purpose.
Yeah, I think there were audio issues because he goes, I'm not even good at this. I'm like, my God.
Yeah.
You are not Dax, the next coming of Arn and Tully. How dare you?
Dax says the mic people don't seem to want you guys to talk. He says, you guys, I have all the respect for what you've done for AEW, but this goes beyond AEW. This is for the AEW. And then he lost his train of thought. And he says, you know what? I'm not that eloquent. We're real, man. Let's just go. And
I liked this. I don't know. Yeah. It's like, yeah, let's cut it. Yeah, I don't want to hear him talk about doing it for his daughter.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have minded an Acclaimed rap where he calls Dax bald. He makes fun of Cash Wheeler's arrest.
Yeah.
It's fine. But let's just do this. Let's just get to the fighting. I'm cool with it.
Yeah. So they try to brawl. And then this is where we got, 8 million people running out and to break up. And I guess, okay, so I said earlier that
I realize I want AEW to be a promo territory, but that's never going to make it a promo territory.
So they had this big thing, and again, I pointed out that this was dumb to do this, you know, when they did Storm and Mariah on the same show, and everyone was super hot for that one, and they were dead for this one, because, like, I assume that we're getting these teams at All In, but they haven't announced anything, and we don't really know for sure. And again, while this wild brawl is going on, the camera randomly cuts to Orange Cassidy, who is fooling around at ringside. He found a hat that he put on. I think it might have been Max Caster's hat.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's smiling, and it's like just totally like non-sequitur.
We've also forgotten that the Acclaimed are going after the Elite at the same time.
Well, yeah, and see, this is where I was like, because I thought like they were going to come out and they were going to cut a promo on the Elite, and then FTR is going to,
you know what,
like,
they're going to do? They're going to say that, oh, the Elite cut off Caster's mic.
Yeah, but then FTR is also feuding with the Elite, right? Like, it's just,
yes,
it's the whole feud.
And then Okada can go, oh, so sorry, it pushes the wrong button.
Yeah, I assume that we're probably getting a three-way at this point, because there's only 2 weeks left, but I was kind of figuring that we were going to get the Acclaimed against FTR for a claim shot, and then FTR was going to win, and then that was going to set up.
No,
FTR,
I was always assuming a three-way.
So that Caster can take the pin, the best wrestler in the world.
No, I'm thinking somebody on FTR takes the pin.
Oh, God. Oh, an Acclaimed win?
Yes, possibly.
God. Oh, man.
Even though they're heels, and the Elite are heels.
This is where we got the video package from Saturday on Collision. They showed the Patriarchy being confronted by the House of Black, returning Buddy Matthews, and the Bang Bang Gang. This led to Nick Wayne getting beaten 3-on-1 by the House of Black.
Building those young stars.
Yeah. So they cut to a Christian interview.
Oh, dude, you know what you missed on Collision or Rampage?
Well, I'll see it eventually.
Private
but
Party lost to MXM.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
What? Well, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, Velocity Jobbers are doing really well on Collision. So we get a Christian interview, and this is great because they've got Christian holding one of the Trios belts, Nick Wayne's holding the other one, and Mama Wayne's got Chris Killswitch's belt because he doesn't deserve it. So Christian points out House of Black were the number one contenders, but they lost a member. Now they're back and they want a title shot. The former champions who we beat, they're looking for their rematch. Fortunately for both of you, I made some calls, and this Saturday on Collision, it's going to be the Bang Bang Gang against House of Black for the number one contender spot. And me being the nice guy, I up the stakes. The winner of that match will face the Patriarchy at All In at Wembley. And since you guys seem to bicker and fight between yourselves like children, you need some discipline, and that discipline comes in the form of a father. And I'm going to be the special guest referee for that match, so I'll see you at Collision. So that tells me we're getting a three-way Trios title match as well now at Wembley, probably. Christian's going to screw both teams, and they're going to end up having to face both teams, I would think, probably.
Yeah, I thought for certain that he was going to try and win it for the House of Black because he didn't want to face the Bang Bang Gang. But then again, you go back to the, you remember Aleister Black and Adam Copeland had that or Malachi Black, whatever name he's using, Black and Copeland were things, so you wouldn't want to necessarily help them. So you might be right. They're just gonna try and get everybody on this show, aren't they? Everybody gets a payday, so type thing. Yeah,
I think so. So we'll see that on Collision, and I'll probably see it in a month. We got a video package for Hologram. What struck me though was watching this in the middle of Dynamite when they show the highlights from Collision. That building looks like, it looks so indie. Like, you know, it's just tiny and it almost looks like a pandemic era thing like that we're seeing. But he looked great in the video and they had this great music playing behind it and he came off like a star. Not exactly sure why they aired it. What?
He came off like a very good luchador.
Well, the funny thing is I expected that we were going to get a thing at the end or, you know, debuting next week, making his Dynamite debut Hologram, or we didn't get that. So I think they just put this here because they had some time they needed to fill.
Yeah, I thought they might push people towards Collision to watch it.
See him
Saturday on Collision.
Yeah, exclusively on Collision because we don't want to put him in a building with real fans. Wow. just kidding. They're real fans. If you're going to those Texas
kids,
shows.
Great.
Yeah. Next we got, they promoted this earlier in the show, but I'm not sure if it was announced before the show. Camille in action in a 2-on-1 match. And her opponents were Jasmine I don't know how it's pronounced. H-A-O. How? I want to say Ho. How? Okay. Jasmine Howe and Clara Carter.
As in, how did I book myself into this mess?
Yeah. So immediately,
if Heenan were on commentary, he would have seen that.
Yes. I've been watching Primetime Wrestling, and it's so great. So Camille was in that. Yeah. So Carter tried to run away immediately.
This was fantastic. I loved every moment of this.
Yeah. She caught on her and beat on her. I noted that Mercedes Moné was at ringside. They came out to her music. Tony's got to pay for Brick House for Camille. She's a brick.
No.
House.
No. Maybe babyface Camille.
Howe jumped on Camille from behind, climbed on her back, but Camille just kept beating on the other jobber with her hanging on her back. Then she just slams her down, threw her into her partner. The jobbers were getting two-on-one offense briefly. Crowd's completely dead. Then Camille just booted them both in the head.
This crowd can eat it, because this thing was fantastic.
Excalibur called a move a torture rack before she even did it.
Yeah.
And then she did it, and she did put Howe in the torture rack, and then she powerbombed her to the mat. Then she picked up Carter, and I thought for sure she was going to powerbomb
her. Carter is screaming for her life. I loved both these women in this squash, too. They were great. This was great. And this work rate snob crowd could not appreciate the good squash match. So screw you, work rate geeks.
I thought for sure she was going to powerbomb Carter into Howe, but she
clipped
just
that
right beside her. And then she pinned them both. And
this was a great squash match. This is and if we hadn't had the extended squash earlier.
Yeah. 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 Two women's matches on this show, by the way.
Both squashes.
Both squash. I'm fine with that.
Sam's going to be pissed.
Yeah. Hey, be happy you got two matches. Be happy you got two matches.
You tell her that.
She's a brick.
No.
House.
No.
Puns are all bad. Right. So Mercedes got a mic. She said, "Say hello to the brick house, Camille." And that got a pop. And she tossed out both the jobbers. And she says, "North Carolina, please say hello to your CEO." And the fans are not chanting CEO anymore. They're booing. And she says,
They cheer for North Carolina. They boo for CEO.
Yes. "Don't even waste your breath chanting DMD because she's not here. Shout out to my EVPs for suspending her. We don't have to deal with her at All In." She's our till All In.
We have to do positives here. At least we're tying it all into the EVPs.
Yes, yes. And I will also say,
even though they lose every single time.
Positively and surprisingly, I was expecting, because the crowd was kind of dead for this promo, I was expecting an MJF chant when she mentioned Britt. And we didn't get it.
Okay.
We did not get it. So I don't think these fans know about this.
It doesn't matter. It hasn't.
She says, "Look, I hate to break it to you, but the DMD is not here." Ah, poor little DMD. Let's talk about the DMD. First woman ever signed here. How impressive. But you know, Britt is the first, but she'll never be the best. And these two titles let you know I'm the best in AEW. And she's going to keep going, but we hear, hold on. And it's Tony Schiavone. And she says, "Pardon me, CEO, up here. I've just been informed by Christopher Daniels that Tony Khan has overruled the Elite." Now, on one hand, I like this. On another hand, are you fucking kidding me? Tony Khan just randomly overrules the Elite. So every other thing they've done, he's fine with. But this one, this is too much.
Well, they did something else that kind of I'm questioning. I want to ask you about this.
All right.
They let
you
Camille
want to ask me
speak.
Now?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
They let Camille speak.
Did they?
Yeah, she said a couple words during this Mercedes promo. There was like a back and forth between them.
Oh, I don't remember seeing that.
I was like, a little too soon for that, but
yeah, I agree. Yeah. But I didn't see it, so I guess it doesn't matter. I don't remember it happening. I didn't write it down.
Yeah. I know it was noticeable, man. I'm trying to remember. She started cutting promos in the NWA, and I was just like, her voice is too high, but it was lower here. Yeah. It was fine. It's just I like the strong. I think the strong silent gimmick is a good one.
Oh yeah,
she needs to speak. So yeah.
Absolutely. So he lifted the suspension of Britt Baker, and we do understand now that we have Britt Baker via satellite. So we cut to Britt Baker, and she's on a screen, and clearly a pre-tape promo.
Yes.
She says, "Mercedes, you can run, get a bodyguard, get me suspended, but this match is on it all in. When I make a commitment, I see it through to the end, unlike you. We know you, the second things don't go your way, you take your ball and go home. You're not the future. AEW is just a flavor of the month for you, but AEW is home for me. So sit at home, count your money. This ends it all in when I become TBS champion and the first female to beat Mercedes Moné. Now I have 7 days to think about how I'm going to get my hands on you next week. And I will, because trust me, I'm a doctor. Yours truly, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. She came off really heelish in this promo, don't you think?
I don't like bringing in Mercedes.
No. Yeah.
How she left WWE.
And she sold it, too. Story. She sold it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would much rather it be, I'm a hard worker, you're a flake.
Yeah.
Type of a thing. Or you're, I mean...
Or even say you're here for the money and the glory, and I'm here for that title.
Maybe, maybe, but still comes off as you're not taking this serious, this job seriously. And yeah. I don't think that's true. And it just, it's one of those things where it feels like you're just an interloper from WWE waiting to go back. I'm going to bring that up in a promo. It's like, oh, God. You know, just say you hate her. That's what I want to hear, really. Yeah. I just, you know, there was something missing. There was something missing, but it was weird. I liked the delivery, but there was something missing in the content for me.
Yeah, it was bizarre, and it felt kind of like a last minute thing too, like it might have been.
But to me, it wasn't like Britt sandbagging like she would do with Thunder Rosa and that. No. It was a more confident promo, and I don't think it came off as heelish for me as it did for you, but it did come off as clever.
Well, I thought, like, the funny thing is as she was doing the promo, there were certain spots where you kind of would expect fans to react and you weren't getting that reaction.
That's a good point. She wasn't scripting it for the promo. She was scripting it for the audience reactions when I make these insidery things.
And the funny thing is, I thought, okay, maybe they got the volume turned down. But then at the end, when they did DMD, they chanted that.
No, it just went over like a fart, because I don't think everybody knows necessarily that, Mercedes walked out on WWE when she got upset.
Yeah. Or they don't want to hear it.
That too.
Yeah, yeah. They want to hear that she wants to be here, not that she was forced to be here because they didn't want her over there.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that.
Or that she didn't, well, I guess she didn't want to be there is different than they didn't want her, but... we got another video package for Bryan Danielson. This was basically just a replay of the promo from last week, played over highlights, including the swerve part. So the whole point of this was to remind us that if he doesn't win at Wembley, he will never wrestle again. And they made that very clear. It's not, I will retire. I will never wrestle again is what the stip is. They showed highlights of a three-way with Claudio Castagnoli, Lee Moriarty, and Tomohiro Ishii from Collision for a winner would get a title shot at Okada. They didn't say when the title shot would be, and I've seen people speculate, oh, it's probably going to be on TV, but Claudio won, and then they said 1 week from tonight they're doing a face-to-face, so this is like an interview segment. So if the, you know, that's next week, so I assume this match is at Wembley, Claudio and Okada, like, but they haven't actually said it's at Wembley, so who knows. So Steamboat comes out, he's on commentary, so I saw people for some reason thought he was going to be the ref, but
I thought it was going to be the ref too. I thought I saw that, but I
guess
they
said special guest Brian. And I think people, you know, just assumed it said special guest ref, but I looked at it and it just said special guest. So, he was on commentary. And as you pointed out earlier, he said nothing.
He is weak on commentary. He's never been a strong promo. No. This was a bad idea.
Yeah. So Bryan Danielson comes out, he does his entrance and, the entrance isn't even finished, and Jeff Jarrett, who's been a babyface for the last month, 2 months, however long it's been, attacked Bryan Danielson with a guitar. And Jay Lethal and Karen are out there. They're trying to talk him off, and he shoved Karen away and just goes back to beating on Danielson. Crowd is pretty quiet at the start of this. He's beating on Danielson with a chair, threw him into the crowd. They brawled through the crowd. They went into a concourse. Jared's dumping garbage cans on him. Danielson finally, like after about 5 minutes of being beat on, grabs a water bottle and starts beating on Jarrett with it. The fans were like right there. And in some cases, like I thought like they could have easily like got involved. They had like two security guards. Like there's hundreds of fans like around these guys fighting and literally two security guards. Like, I don't know how nobody got like hit by a fan or something, but they went through a break. And when they came through the break, they were back in the ring. Danielson was making his comeback with yes kicks. He ended up on a chair, Jarrett did, but Danielson missed a running knee. I got right up and started giving Jarrett kicks to the chest on the barricades. Let's fast forward to this. The crowd was dead. Jarrett put on a looked like he was going to put on a sharpshooter. He did put on a sharpshooter, but it was the Owen version. And Danielson escaped, easily reversed it into a lapel lock. Jarrett broke the grip, started punching Danielson. They traded punches and kicks on the mat. They were doing the yay boo spot. Jarrett hits an enziguri, went for the stroke. Danielson threw him into a chair that was against the ring post, and then he grabbed another chair, hit the busaku knee, which ended up busting Jarrett open, and got the pin. And crowd didn't really react much to the pin. And yeah, it was a, I don't know, 15-minute, just a brawl. It was probably like 75-25 Jarrett. It was very odd.
I love this match.
Yeah, it was a good match. It was just weird.
What this match needed was it needed a storyline throughout the show. And it needed a Jarrett promo saying, "All right, Danielson, you got my dander up. I'm coming at you with everything. And that means everything. To teach you a lesson," or whatever. Because commentary did not do a good job up front of saying that this was no DQ.
No.
You know, no, whatever. Because Steamboat was tripping over his words the entire time. They eventually got to it, but it was already halfway through the match by the time they started putting that over. And they really needed to babyface Jarrett in the beginning by saying, "No, this was smart of him to do this because it's no DQ or whatever. This is the lesson he's trying to teach." Because to me, it came off as Jarrett's turned heel again.
Well, and you needed to put over the fact that, like, he's dealing with this, but Swerve will do anything to keep his title.
And yes, Jarrett's, and you need to tie it into the Swerve match.
Yeah.
I get that they're going to make him the heel for this match. I get that, but you don't want to make it seem like he's turned permanently so that you can then sell the hug at the end, because it kind of came off as a little false to me at the end, although I did enjoy it. I loved this match. Jeff Jarrett uses props better than almost anybody.
Yeah,
it's so weird. Like, I love that entire trash can spot where he's like, screw it, we're going to use a real trash can with real trash as opposed to a gimmick. He does walking brawls great. I mean, he's done all these concession stand brawls, et cetera, et cetera. I dug that. This match was comfort food for me.
I'm sure Danielson had it on his bucket list that he wanted to do a concession stand brawl with Jarrett.
Yes. Like, we're going to go old school Memphis here.
He got it here. Yeah.
I adored the spot with the chair and the figure four leg lock. I thought that was great. Yeah. I just really enjoyed this.
Oh, yeah, I didn't point that out. Yeah, Jarrett had the figure four, and Danielson grabbed a chair, and he was banging on Jarrett's knees, and had to hit him three times to get him to break the hold. And then Jarrett was selling the knees after that.
Yes, no, this match was great. And, you know, I know people are scared to death of Jeff Jarrett ever holding a title in this company, but I think eventually before he retires, he should hold at least like a 6-man belt with somebody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was calling for him to win that international title, but I think that's probably, you know, kind of above him at this point. But
no, because they consider that a work rate title, so he'll never get it.
After the match, Karen, Lethal, and Sanjay were out there to check on Jarrett. Wheeler came out to check on Danielson. Danielson was selling his knee after. Steamboat comes down. Wheeler let him into the ring. I was looking at Wheeler and thinking, man, that's got to be like a thrill for him. Because, you know, I think he's a Japanese-American. And, you know, seeing Ricky out there is probably pretty cool for him.
Okay.
Jarrett was bleeding from his ears. I hadn't noticed it before that. But Aubrey had been wearing gloves. So I guess there must have probably been a cut at some point, and then it got worse. They said that it might have happened during the Bukasaka knee with the chair. Steamboat shook his hand. Danielson asked the crowd to applaud for Jarrett. Steamboat raised everyone's hands. They shook their hands. They hugged. I figured, okay, you know, we were like a couple minutes after nine here on the in the Central Zone. And I figured, okay, they're just going to go to break, but, or, you know, credits are going to play. But nope, whose house? So Nana is coffee route, and then Swerve, and he says, Tony Schiavone is, oh, of course Swerve's going to come out here. So he was playing up that Swerve was a heel. He wants to make sure everybody knows. And he said, this should surprise no one. And he's got a mic, and he says, well, would you look at here? Y'all see this? You saw that, right? Three great legends in front of your eyes. Jeff Jarrett, Ricky Steamboat, and Swerve Strickland. And Wheeler is very mad at this, and he says, these are all men that have defined wrestling on this network. The difference between you and us, Brian, is we've all been world champions here. So that's actually a good point that he brought up.
Jeff Jarrett hasn't been a world champion. The
WWE. Yeah, he was a world champion. Yeah, and TNT.
Well, I was thinking AEW. You're correct.
No. Right. Yeah, no. He said this network.
This network.
And Steamboat right. as well. Yeah. He said, the only thing standing between you and this championship is Swerve Strickland. You're one of the greatest of all time, Brian. That's why it's going to be great for me and a huge honor when I retire you at All In and your legacy becomes mine. And you know me, I will not hesitate to take that kill shot. Heck of a match. How you feeling? Danielson says, well, I'm all right. And Swerve says, your legs a little wobbly, back giving out, losing feeling in your fingers. And then he says, if Jeff Jarrett did that to you, imagine what I'm going to do. So how about you had a little warm-up match here with Jeff Jarrett. How about I get tested as well? I want to warm up before Wembley. I want a sparring partner like you got. So next week, I'm going to go one-on-one with Wheeler Yuta. Wheeler looks at him and says, I ain't your damn warm-up. And he said, this week I sat in the back, but next week I want you to have a front row seat so I can show you why I'm the most dangerous man in AEW. And then they just stared as the thing went off. And I'm like, I want this to be just a violent destruction next week of poor Wheeler. I love Wheeler, but this should be like Mariah May and Viva Van.
I probably mostly agree. I could also see them just giving Wheeler the fluke win after getting beat up for the whole time.
Oh, God, that would be bad.
Title eliminator. Or you know what? They let Wheeler win that match.
Oh, yeah, why not? Get another title
after
shot.
After getting beat up, and then it's like, I'm out for revenge. I can do this, you know, whatever. Yeah, no, that'll be fun. Again, a little too heelish for me. I would have just said, hey, you did it, I'm going to do it too, type of a thing, and keep Swerve's babyface aura about him. But this is the choice they've made. I get it. It was fine.
Yeah, I thought maybe they would have another legend. But if Swerve was an actual heel, though, he'd have laid out Steamboat. So
yes, he would have laid out Jarrett in front of him. See, I can do that too.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm surprised. That's why I thought Hangman was going to do it. Like I was expecting Hangman in this segment.
I was expecting Hangman to ruin the match, actually.
Oh yeah. Well, me too, actually.
And get Jarrett off the board, and then Swerve and him can, you know, have their face off or whatever. But
yeah, but didn't happen.
No, so, but yeah, I really liked that match. That match was very enjoyable for me.
And the show overall was all right. I mean, they did some stuff to build Wembley, and you know, it wasn't a perfect show, but it was fine.
It feels like a soft build though, more than a hard build.
It does. Like, we didn't really get any new developments other than that Casino Gauntlet match. We're just kind of... I thought the one match that really benefited from tonight, I think we're probably, like, about neutral on Hangman Danielson. Like, I think last week was the big one
Swerve
for that.
Danielson?
Or Swerve Danielson, yeah.
I'm neutral on because I want to build the feud more than we can both beat guys in the ring.
Last week was the money promo. This week was just maintaining. Yes. The one that built, I thought, was Mariah and Tony. I thought they recovered some of the momentum.
I agree there mostly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
MJF and you know, the MJF Will stuff, despite the fact that I didn't like the choices, they at least...
The only problem I had with that was that whole thing with Will, like, not really being trapped.
Yes. I didn't say it was clunky, but they made an attempt to at least build it. That's what
I mean. And I do like what they're doing with... Like, I actually don't want MJF to lose that belt. Like, he kind of has to, right?
No.
Oh, you think they're going to beat Will in Wembley?
Oh, I'd love that.
Oh yeah, they'd be ballsy. I'd be ballsy, you know. But I don't know.
Agent of Chaos. I would love that.
Yeah. I know he goes from winning the world title in the original plans.
We're having way too many British people win. We need one to lose. Why not Will Ospreay?
Why not our biggest British star?
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, that was Dynamite. So so we got next week. We have Wheeler Yuta and Swerve, and I think that's it. We got the House of Black against the Bang Bang Gang with Christian on referee.
They're
going
to deny Emi Sakura again a chance to.
There's three shows coming up over the next week, and we know two matches.
Yes, that's bad planning on their part.
It is, yes, yes. But whatever, we got Wembley coming up. We got almost a full card for Wembley and probably another eight matches to add. So here we go. God. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, and they're up to, I think they're getting close to 50,000, over 45 for sure. So we'll have a nice crowd there. Get your plugs in, Jeff.
At Crap Game 13 on Elon Musk's X. I do a show over on Voices of Wrestling called Shake Them Ropes this week. Ice cold takes on SummerSlam because we didn't do it after SummerSlam. We did a preview show instead. Chris hasn't given me Vader Club, so I can't plug that. But anything else in the news that comes up, we'll be talking about that here, and especially doing a review of both a pretty darn good Raw following that pretty darn good SummerSlam, bit overbooked, and then also week two of the Great American Bash, where they've decided to turn Wesley heel. That'll drop in your podcatchers sometimes later this week at Shake Them Ropes or on the Voices of Wrestling mega feed.
And follow me at Paul Ace Fontaine on X, and that's about it. I don't have anything else to plug right now. I'll be back next week with this show. 2 weeks, two more Dynamites until Wembley All In. And
I'll have better lighting next week too. I was trying something. I apologize.
Yeah, that's fine. So for Jeff, I've been Paul, and this has been the Dynamite Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.